Will the full story of Galactic Star Cruiser remain untold? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And Star Cruiser's closed. Yep. So we can talk all spoilers now. There are no spoilers.
And I think this is the idea that I had coming into this story.
Okay.
Or into this episode was the story.
Right.
Is for the longest time, we weren't going into spoilers. Now it was time to go into it. But I didn't know where to start. So I started hitting up all my friends. Like, who is the best storyteller? But Peter Serretta from Ordinary Ventures. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, no. You're going to rely on me retell the Star Cruiser story.
Well, the thing is, I was telling Sarah, the last time we had you on was for Choose Your Own Story. Like, Star Cruiser was choosing your own story. So it's like
Star Cruiser just opened. You guys had already gone twice, I think. And then we had gone once. So we were like, okay, let's talk about all the different stories in there. And like, how full circle is this?
So we have to have you. Anything Star Cruiser, Peter, we got to have you on for story stuff.
But yeah, and I mean, you also just released a video talking about the story of Star Cruiser.
Yeah, creating a video is a lot easier than me retelling the story, because like, I'm just using pieces I captured to present the story. But if you ask me, I'm still not clear of like, how did Chewbacca get captured at the end of, was it day one? Like, he presents himself at the end of dinner to...
Oh, yeah.
Like, ask me how that series of events happened. I have no idea. No idea. I'm sure like someone knows, but like, I don't know.
And that's the crazy thing. So I think we've all been multiple times on Star Cruiser. We haven't ever followed the same exact story path each time. And even with all of this experience, you know, within all of us, we still don't know the full story of Star Cruiser. Yeah. Like, it was such a complex story.
I mean,
story.
After one of the things that still like boggles my mind, because again, I had made that jacket and I had like all the different elements. And I thought the song One Galaxy at the end was a co-write of Sandro and Wani. But like, I think I'm finding out that it's Wani's song that Sandro's just able to like, he kind of helped finish it up.
Right.
So it's like, that's her song. Like, not Sandro's. It's not both of theirs. It's like,
it was Wani's song.
It's Wani's song. Sandro's taking credit.
Dang it, Sandro. But so it's crazy complex though, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, that's the weird thing, because like, when you saw the critics, not to talk about the critics, when you talk about the critics, they were like, oh, you go one, it's one and done. Like, there's no replayability. It's like, there's tons of replayability. Like, this last time that I went with you guys on our final voyage, the penultimate cruise, there was a ton of stuff I had never witnessed before.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. I mean, there was stuff I witnessed because I had never done the smuggler path. So there was like stuff I knew about. I knew there was a heist. I knew there was, you know, this meeting and the cargo hold. I knew they existed. But then there was also stuff that like, I literally didn't even know there was a moment in the story that something happened. Like, and you see it in our video, our latest video, the Star Cruiser, a full story. Is there's this moment during dinner one where Gaia is singing the song about the Hyaneia stone, and one of the Saja comes over to Wraith Cole and whispers in his ear, and then they go off. And like, I've only done dinner one once, so maybe that might be my problem, but like, I'm not sure if you guys did the early dinner a lot. Did you ever notice that moment at the dinner happening?
Maybe.
I don't remember which time it was, but there's like each, you know, every time that there would be like a dinner, you would notice something new, like a conversation. Cause like when we were at captain's table, when one of the Saja came and pulled the captain, you know, pulls him away.
Yeah.
Like there's a conversation there that I didn't know what it was, but you know, you could tell me what you know, what it led to, or like, I think that's when she goes to the bridge.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that's the part of the story that we made. And I think that conversation is actually the Saja telling Wraith that the stone is on, or they think the stone is on the ship.
Yeah. Because you see in the latest video that we released, and this is something I just happened to be there for. I didn't know what was going to happen, but like, you know, we had dinner too. And there was a moment where the Saja brings Wraith Cole over to the hyperspace compass. And Wraith Cole, like, at first doesn't believe it. And then he starts, like, almost crying at, like, and it's like this, I don't know. It's a small moment. And when I was there, there was, like, you know, three or four people that witnessed this moment. I've never heard anybody retell of this moment. But I always assumed that Gaia knew that the Hyaneia stone was on the ship, and that's why she was there performing this small concert, because, you know, she's a megastar. Why is she performing this small concert on a cruise liner? But no, it happens that they learned about it during the journey, and it's something that you could be part of learning that's how it happens if you're observant enough.
Well, and it makes the line in, I think it's the Hyaneia song, more impactful when she says her emancipation starts tonight. Because you're like, oh, like maybe that line wasn't always that line in the song, but it changed because Gaia then learns. Because what happens, I think, after that is that Wraith comes back and whispers, like confirms it to Gaia in the middle of the concert.
Yeah.
Right? And so then she's like, oh, okay, this is happening. And I think maybe that's also too why she's so strong-willed with Croy in those interactions. But that's the wild thing, is that that's happening, but then there's other pieces of the story, like the Saja coming to get the captain from the captain's table, and then she has to go to the bridge and do whatever it is that she's doing.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I think that was, for me, that was the daunting task of like, okay, let me start like naively putting together this story, you know, from my adventures. What's the story? And you start realizing that there are all these multiple characters, you know, the captain, cruise director, Sam, like all these characters, they have their own story. And then there's the different locations on the ship. Then there are the data pad. There's just like these multitude of things, of story points. Like, how do you start tracking that?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, because it's not just the characters. It's the in-person interactions and the data pad interactions. It's where they are in the ship.
I'm not even talking about the character interactions yet. I'm just talking about the, like, script story. Like,
right.
The times. Like, and that's the other thing. The timing, like, of everything is, like, you're not going to be able to experience it all. Like, it has to be, like, a collection of information.
It has to be. But the other piece of it is, like, there are, I think we all kind of adhere to, there's four main story paths on Star Cruiser, which is the Resistance, the First Order, the Smuggler path, and then the Force path, if you will. But then there's also Sandro and Wani. There's all of the characters within the Resistance path that each kind of have their own story weaving into this larger Resistance story. Like, even that alone, because we were trying to figure out, how do you organize this information? It's like, I don't even know. Like,
I don't know where to start.
Yeah. It'd be like 20 dimensions deep. Like, how did they build this? How did they craft
Did you ever see that? Did you ever see that image that they showed at that game convention where it's like them on stage and there's just like, I don't even know the it was like an insane, like, what do you call that? Where like you're doing a thought.
Flowcharts.
Flowcharts, yeah. It's an insane flowchart that you would never understand. It's like, what is going on here?
It starts making sense where you're like, oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yep, that makes sense. Okay.
But then you're like, but also I don't understand any of this. Because I think I've heard this number thrown out there, and I don't remember where it originated from, that there's something like 17,000 different experiences that you can have on Star Cruiser. 17,000.
I wonder how valid that would be.
And like, how much of each of those is different? Because it is, I think, a big part of Star Cruiser is like your interaction with those characters. But is it's always going to come back to the same
end.
end and the same touch points in between, right? Because there was the muster that started off the story, and then you have the cruise director's toast at the end of night one. You have
Batu.
You have Batu, which is going to remain the same. You have like the beginning of the story on day two, and then the finale on the end of day two. Like all of those touch points where everybody's back together, those have to be the same ish, right? They may say a few different things, but it's always going to come back to those. So you can't change the story too much in between, right?
Yeah, I mean,
but I guess it just depends on how you interact with the story in between those points, because not everybody follows the same path either. And like that's something you got into, Peter, like specifically the First Order path, right? Because if you're doing the First Order path, you're really only talking to Croy and maybe the stormtroopers, who are just like the hidden gems of the Halcyon, those two stormtroopers. But you've done that, and you went yeah. in your video, and you were just like, if you're going First Order, like there's not too much story to do here.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of like spying and reporting back to Croy. So you're participating in a lot of the resistance stuff and then going mm-hmm. back behind everybody's back and reporting. And yeah, like the stormtroopers are hilarious. Like there's some written moments between the stormtroopers, and I'm not sure how it's done, because their dialogue changes based on not only the room that they're in, but the time during the story that things are happening. You know, has the First Order taken over the ship? Is the droid missing? Like, you know, so it's like, how do the performers in the suit that are, you know, doing all sorts of like hand motions to do things keep track of all that? I don't know. Because yeah. you're not like keeping track of dialogue in your head. You have to like do hand motions. But like you saw in our video, there's a moment that we had with them in the climate simulator, which was hilarious.
Yeah. And I'm trying to like move the rocks and throwing them up and everything. They were so good. So, so good.
But I think you could go. You guys have gone how many times? Not to put you on the spot.
Five times.
Did you ever see them do that in the climate simulator? No. See?
And we've had great moments with the stormtroopers, but never that. Because there was one time where like our daughter was watching her iPad, and the stormtrooper kind of like was trying to sneak up on her, I think, and like try to like, I don't think he was trying to scare her, but he's like sneaking up, and he's right behind her, and somebody points out that the stormtrooper's right behind her, and she's just kind of like totally undisturbed by him, and just kind of looks back and like, oh hey. And I think he asks like, what is this? And she's just like, oh, this is my show, and I'm playing this game, and like explaining everything. And he's like, for like probably 2 or 3 minutes, sat there and just like interacted with her.
I think that's the acting that they have to do is more difficult, because they have a mask on, there's no facial expressions, and they don't have like free dialogue. They have to like go off of, you know, their buttons.
Yeah,
that like that's way more difficult than just being able to say like, oh, that's interesting,
right? But even the stormtroopers, I feel like they have a bit of like character development over the course of Star Cruiser also, right? Because like they come in with Croy, but they're not always right next to Croy. They're going off and doing other things, they're going on patrol, and so you can even interact with them throughout your story. And that's not something that people do. They're not being like, oh, I'm on the trooper path. But it is something that you can interact with, and that helps build out the story as well. Because it's not like Croy comes on the ship and he's this big menacing supreme leader, like a Kylo, like a, you know, like any of the other ones. And so there's this comedy to it that's really beautiful.
So are you saying that there's a story, you know, a stormtrooper line that we didn't even think about that we should know about?
And I think that's where it gets difficult. It's like there is no way to tell all of these different little subtleties of the ship and the stories of these subtleties in one easy way. And it's just like, we can't experience it anymore, right? Like it's closed, but like what else did we miss? Because like you said, with the whole finding the Hyannanea stone in the compass between Wraith and Saja, like that's something you didn't even know was going to happen, and you just happened to be there and witness it. And that's after you had gone 4 times, I think.
Yeah, that was my 4th time.
So what else was there that we missed? And I think that's what's wild, is how complex I'm going to say complex probably 50 times in this episode. But that's how complex this story was. And that's why I get so mad when people are like, it's one and done.
Yeah.
Because you do it and you're like,
so,
what?
You know, talking about that, you know, going back to, you know, again, I was kind of chatting with Peter while they were editing their video because I was trying to prick your brain. But like, where did you even like say, okay, this is where I'm going to start?
Okay. Well, we were on a voyage of the Star Cruiser before the first voyage. We were on a media voyage and we filmed all that stuff. And then we had a week in between because we were also booked on the first voyage. So we were on a media voyage and the first voyage and we edited all the stuff with, that was the hardest edit of my life. Like it was Kitra and I, two laptops, me working on one day, her working on another, and then we'd swap and whatever. But those four videos that came out of that media voyage was like the hardest edit of my life. And thankfully, I mean, I think we filmed like 11 hours and we edited it down to like 3.5 for that first voyage. And then we went on another voyage, like I said, the first voyage where we were first order, and we edited that down to like a few videos. And then went on the third voyage with you guys and edited that down to, I think, just one video.
Yeah.
And that came out like a day before they announced the closure. Yep. So the good news here is we had all these stuff edited down already. So it wasn't like I was working with, I think we had 30 hours of footage before this last trip, but that was all edited down to like 9 hours of footage over 11 videos, if that makes sense. So
okay.
We had those premiere files to work from. So it's not like we added new stuff from those voyages, but we added the stuff from voyage 4 in. So it ended up being like 35 hours of footage edited down to 4 hours, but it was, but we already had, I'm not even sure what your question was, but we already had the stuff. We already had a bunch of stuff edited, but the thing is, like, you know, if you take the stuff that was edited, that was 9 hours over 11 videos. My purpose was I wanted to, you know, I would always talk about Star Cruiser and people would be like, you know, which video should I start with? Because we have 11 videos. And I would be like, well, start with the first one and then go to the second. It's just like, how do you convince someone to watch 11 videos? Unless they're insane like you guys and everybody watching this. And I was like, you know, I want to create one video that's kind of will give you an overview of the whole experience, from the story to the food to the excitement of experiencing these moments to, you know, what the room was like and all that stuff. But in a manageable, at first I wanted to do 2 hours, and then I realized that was too, there's no way we were getting it down to 2 hours. I think if we just did the story alone, maybe we could have got it down to 2 hours. But I pulled some people on Instagram and stuff, and they're like, no, we want to see the food. We want to see the room. We want to see Gaia. So we had to include all that stuff. But it was just a matter of like cutting stuff down and seeing what we could remove without it ruining something later on, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like there's a point like in our voyage where Croy comes up to me and I anger him and he asks me my name and I say Reza, who is my cabin mate. And then like later on that comes into play. He thinks my name's Reza the whole time. And then we have to like reveal to him that like I lied and whatever. And it's like, you can't take that out because it's in these other two moments later on. But well, one thing I wanted to talk to you guys about was, I think one thing the Star Cruiser does incredibly well. Well, first of all, the Star Cruiser for me, the thing I like most about it is these little moments that it feels like it's you and two other people being the only people to witness this moment in the story, and it makes you feel so special to be part of that. Yeah. Or not even witness, to be part of that moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think Star Cruiser does this interesting thing. And this might even spoil something for people that are watching this that have been, and they might not realize this, But I think on day one, what happens is you go on a bridge mission and then you end up talking to your friend who was on a different, or another passenger that was on a different bridge mission. And then you realize, oh, the thing that happened in my bridge mission was different than the thing happened on this other person's bridge mission. So those 20 or 30 people saw something different than what I saw, and that it convinces you that you're the only one seeing this thing that you're seeing at the time. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that it's not being repeated. And then day two, I think they use that to their advantage. And there's these things like the holocron, the unveiling of the artifact that we pick up on Batuu, which ends up being a holocron, which you're in a room with, is it like 20 people, 15 people? I don't know.
Probably.
Feels so special. Ray's there. It's incredible. You know, Yoda projection, all the stuff. And you feel like you're one of only 15 people on the entire ship that got to witness this moment. But the reality of this is that moment happens, I think, like six times or something like that.
But I'm going to interject, Peter. There are different reasons that Ray is in that room.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So there's different, like, she has, at one point there's a, I think just to get the chest or just, you know, that box. But then another time is that there's, when they're going back and forth trying to power up the ship, there's a point where that she kind of ducks into there and everybody's meeting. So it's like.
But then she also has like the catalyst. Cause I think this last time we went and did it, she has like this, and I forget what it is, but she brings something onto the ship and she has it in that instance. But I don't feel like I'd ever seen her.
Stuff.
I don't feel like I'd ever seen her have that before either.
So
there's different stories.
So I think it's like it happens, the main thing, but the reason it gets in there is different reasons.
Different. Which is.
Yeah. But there's also moments in between where Rey is in that hallway in between the dojo and the engineering room. And she stops some stormtroopers with the Force, or she stops the lieutenant with the Force. Like, that happens a bunch of times, but I feel like most people that probably are there and have experienced this thinks it only happens once, and they were there for that one moment where like 20 people saw it, and it becomes that special. And it's interesting because in our video, I've captured that moment like two or three times, and I wanted to use this moment where she does it to the stormtroopers, and then Wraith Cole is there, but he's there with Gaia's like her bag that has I think it has the coaxium in it. And at the end of the moment, Chewbacca comes there, and there's a reunion between Rey and Chewbacca for the first time since, you know, that we know of since I guess Last Jedi, right? And It appears in our video at a point where Wraith Cole shouldn't have the coaxium, whatever, but like it had to like happen at that moment in the story. So there's like some stuff that even in our video is kind of like out of chronology,
but that's what I'm saying. I think it happens multiple times, but each time it's for a different, like, it is in a different point. So like one of the times she doesn't have something, the next time, you know, Wraith does have something, or like, you know, they keep crossing paths so that it happens multiple times. But depending on what story you're following, that's not your time to see her. Your time to see her is in the next, you know, next meeting of it.
Right. And sometimes you don't even see Rey until the finale.
Yeah. Like our first time, we didn't know Rey was on the ship until the finale.
Yeah. We didn't know anything about like the Force path, the artifact. Yeah. The Yoda holocron, nothing until the finale. And we were like, what is happening? Like, we were so just like, there are so many things happening in this finale that we are not privy to in the slightest. And then it was the next time that we're like, okay, everything that's happening in the finale is a culmination of all these story points. But you don't know that your first time either. Yeah. Like, you
especially kind of, us, like not having that information going into it, like any kind of information.
I
wondered about that. Like the first voyage when we went on and we got the holocron moment on our first voyage, when they bring that up in the finale, I was wondering like how many people understand what's going on here with like Yoda just comes on the the screen there, and then like Ray has a hologram. I'm like, do any of these people understand? Or, but also occurred to me later on after figuring this out that, you know, the holocron reveal happened 6 times and there might be 20 people in there. So that's 20 times six, which is 120.
120. I mean, it's, so it's probably that's like a half, significant at least amount half of people. Or a third that know it. But yeah, for us, we're like, what's Yoda doing here? Like, it's kind of weird.
But kind of getting back to just like the story, like just the complexity, Sarah's favorite word, the complexity of it. It was for me so daunting to just start collecting all this information, because we had each of the storylines that, you know, I wanted to be able to follow, you know, the places in the ship that these things were happening, because again, the environment was changing each of the time. Like if you looked at the maps in the rooms, every time that we went into, you know, we jumped, it would change the map. Like there was so many things changing that you don't necessarily realize. Like they put a lot of effort into making sure that everything worked.
Everything was
the same.
If you diverted, because at some point the captain says like, we're not diverting from our path and our plan, but then they do because of the, I think it's the First Order bridge training. We end up jumping somewhere that wasn't on the flight path. And well, so you see that after the fact, when you go back to your room and you look at the map, you see that we had an extra stop that we didn't have before. Yeah. Like they really, really.
But how do you include that kind of detail into a story? Like, okay, we're talking about story, you know, and then talking about food, like how, you know, the, that experience. And that's where, you know, I kind of didn't bow out, but just kind of like, you know what, I'm gonna let you finish. Peter, because it was like there's the story part of it, but then also to that reaction, that genuine reaction when something's had, like seeing Wani for the first time, like you could say that, oh, here's a Rodian, you know, it's Gaia's keyboardist or whatever, but the reaction that you actually see this character in front of you, and then, you know, the animatronics on it, or the, you know, the moving of it, like there's like this reaction that you cannot like emulate in us having a conversation.
Right. Yeah. And like seeing Kitra crying in the Chandrila collection, you're just like, yeah, that's it. Like there's no way that we could talk about it here in a way that was as impactful as like what you guys were doing. But I think that was what we're talking about a little bit, is like, how do you even, you had all of the content, but how did you even think to organize it? Cause I think you basically went chronologically. And so it bounced, it bounced back and forth between like, you know, the smuggler path and finding out that the high Ananea is in the compass. And then you go back. And then you really dug into it during the heist. And you like, you showed as much as you could of the heist that you were, you know, that you had filmed, or that Wraith let you film because he tells you, shut it down.
I wish I could have filmed that final meeting. It was so good. I know you guys were there and it was like emotional. And guys weren't there? Oh, you were there for the planning then.
We were there for the planning, and then when we were there for the presentation of the stone to Gaia, we didn't get there early enough, and like you literally couldn't even, it was so packed in there. There had to have been like 70 people in that tiny little cargo hold, and I was like, I don't want to stand at the very back of this room and like not even hear it and like experience it, and so we just left. But yeah, I'm like, oh, that's the one thing I really wish we'd done, was just gotten there earlier, but that's all right. But yeah, so the way that you organized it, and I think that's where we were really struggling with trying to build the out the story, is like, how do you even go about it in a way that makes sense to somebody?
There was stuff that didn't piece together like that, like I told you, the Rey moment. But there was also a moment like the stormtroopers in the climate simulator that was recorded on our third journey, which we had early dining because we were with you guys at the captain's table. And the reason why the stormtroopers leave the climate simulator is the captain comes to get them because SK has turned himself in or something happened. But it's something that happens during... Oh, no, it was what Chewbacca. Chewbacca is under arrest. And that happens during dinner, too. And so we couldn't put that moment after dinner, too, because... why did she take so long to get the stormtroopers to whatever? So we had to like cut that out completely because it doesn't quite fit. So there's stuff that doesn't quite fit, but like even going on this, like, I became obsessed, like, because I would watch our videos and then I'd watch some of the other vloggers that went to the Star Cruiser and be like, oh, that's a moment I never saw that I didn't know that was, you know, happening during this other moment. And I created the spreadsheet that I never planned to make public in any way. I'm a puzzle, you know, I'm a magician. I'm a puzzle solver. I like figuring out how things work and stuff like that. So I just so happened to have all this video footage and all of it was timestamped. So I know exactly when certain moments happen. So I started creating this Google spreadsheet, which I sent to Steven. And yep. I haven't even incorporated our third and fourth trips into that. But yeah, it's pretty extensive and it kind of like lays things out. But like, I feel like it kind of lays things out in a general idea of like, oh, this is happening in this room at this time, but not like explaining exactly what happened. Like, it's not like a full retelling of the story of that happening. Yeah. Like, I think Beth Rivas recently tweeted that she wishes that there was like a choose your own adventure book of the Star Cruiser story so that like people could read that from years to come and re-experience the events. And I feel like that would be the best way to do it, is a like choose your own adventure.
Well, see, so I was telling Sarah, I was like, the entire time, like when I started thinking about the story, I was like, this is the best way to like retell it. Like, you'd have to have someone that could write, but the middle parts that are connect, I mean, and you would have to portray it from as a guest, right? As a guest, and you choose the different paths and they fill in the gaps as far as like the lightsaber training, because that I don't think has like story connected to it other than you experiencing it. So right. They have to figure out how do you get that in there. But each of the bridge trainings, like there's jumps that there have story points that somehow you have to know those story points. Like if you were in this bridge training, then boom, you could go to that part of the story. Like it would have to start getting crazy. But then I started thinking like, okay, yes, there's books, but there's also, you know, there's groups out there that are doing like the reverse engineering of it. And they've started creating these like VR environments of like sublight and in the ship itself. But imagine awesome. Trying to do the same thing where it's like a game, you know, and not in like a VR, because it's an experience. So you're not having to like do too much other than like be at a certain spot that, you know, but imagine like a living VR version of the Star Cruiser. So then there's story points. There's like, at this time, this character is going to be out here and strolling through having a conversation. And, you know, you could change the story, you know, certain minimally
right.
to go to the next point or whatever.
But I think for a VR game, it would be difficult because you would have to just be an observer of it and you couldn't participate too fully in it, because you would have that opportunity to run around the ship and see the stories playing out throughout the ship, because there's so many things happening at the same time just in different areas of the ship.
Yeah.
So I feel like for that, for a VR game, you have to be an observer. Even the same for a story, even if you're like picking the same, like picking different paths in between those touch points of story, the book is the book. Like the words are not going to change on the pages. Yeah. So you can't influence that too much. And I think that was the beauty of Star Cruiser, is that even if you didn't really like impact the wider story, you got to interact with those characters and you got to form connections with those characters. And then maybe they would call back to it later on. Like if you did the First Order path, you got a call out at the end of the finale, or, you know, if you helped Wani and Sandro write the song, they would shout you out at the end of it. And I think that's what is going to get lost going forward with Star Cruiser, is that there's not that interaction, because you got to help shape a little bit of what happened on the Star Cruiser, like the heist. They would pick a couple, right? And they would get engaged as like a distraction for part of the heist. And like, that's not something that you could participate in a VR game or in a book.
Yeah, you can't actually do.
Or you could, I guess, but right, like they say, like, oh, you and your partner pretend to get engaged. But I think that was what was so special about it, is that they could tell the type of person that you are, and if you were gonna help write the Sandro and Wani story, or if you wanted to do the engagement, and they kind of would put you in these positions to help you do that. And without being able to see you and know who you are and how you want to play, I don't know that they can create something that's going to make you feel as strong of a connection to the ship as actually being there did.
Yeah.
So if you could just bring it back, that would be so great. But I do think both of those options are good options. Like, nothing is ever going to be the same as being there.
Here's the problem is there is no protagonist in this story. So if you're going to write the story or tell the story in some way, there is no one to follow through the story. You know, Rey doesn't come on board until whatever, and she only sees certain part. Like, so you either have to tell it where it's kind of like this ensemble piece where you're just God witnessing all the stuff happening, or you have to tell it through the eyes of a passenger going on board. But I feel like if you eyes of a passenger, you have to either make them make the choice. Like, if you're writing as a narrative and it's not a choose your own adventure, then they choose to help the resistance is the way that it would go. And you never get to see any of the other stuff.
Well, so this also kind of leads me to my next little question. I was at the end of your video, you kind of talked about the First Order path, that it has like a little bit of a payoff by, you know, the them calling you out at the, you know, at the big finale. But did you actually get that satisfaction of helping the First Order? And that, you know, yes, we always have that same end, but what if they were able to have a story where you could actually change the ending of, and again, Lucasfilm would have to go off the deep end of like, okay, now you're changing canon. Like, it's not, you know, the bad guys are winning,
right,
type of thing, but that you help it in a way where it, you know, the First Order actually, like, your choices actually made a difference and not the same ending. Or do you think that could have worked in Star Cruiser in general? Like, if people were able to lead, you know, to the First Order in a way that, hey, they were able to take over the ship and they kicked us off the ship and type of thing.
Could you imagine? And instead of it being a 2-night adventure, it's just a 1-night adventure. And at the end of the finale, you're like, get your stuff, get out.
Get out.
It would funny. That would be interesting though. Or even having like two stories where it's like, depending on the week that you went, it ended up different.
I don't know. I think if now, like, this is where you could, the legends, right? You could start having fun with the story and like, but I think we have to know the story. That's going to be like my thing, that kind of going forward and just like picking everybody's brain that was actually, and kind of the same thing, like Peter said, having these timestamps of, okay, I hadn't seen that before. This is happening at this time, you know, getting that proof of not just like an interaction, because I think an interaction is almost like a witness statement. Like, it's your perspective of it.
My memory.
But I want like the hard proof of this happened at this time. Yeah. So, okay, this is what we were doing in the story.
But here's the other thing. I was going to say, there's a lot of things that happen on Star Cruiser that were not, I think, were not in the script. And there was the actors playing along and sometimes giving a moment that wasn't there, inventing a moment. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like when you do this, there's going to be a lot of moments that weren't in everybody's voyage. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but I think that is where I like my detective mind wants to go. Is like, I want to know what is the like the bare bones, like where are they supposed to be? What are they supposed to lead that passenger on?
Yeah.
Or what are we supposed to see? And to get that story, and then you could start putting the meat on there and saying, okay, this is where they played it a little bit more, you know, suave, or this is the way they, you know, more stern.
Even the different actors, depending on which actors were on your voyage and like that specific set of actors, they may have played their relationships differently. Cause like Lenka and Wraith on our second voyage, they kissed at the end of the dessert party. And we were like our jaws dropped. We're like, what? Like, you could see them flirting the whole time, but I was like, is that new? And then we learned like over the course of our voyages, like, oh, it's just those two that do that. But there's so that's just, how they there's play different chemistry with different actors too. And it was just like, who knew? Yeah. Who knew?
You know, one of the things I really struggled with when I was putting together this video was because we had different actors during different voyages, and we would have to intercut where there's literally like a scene where there's one person playing Wraith in one scene, and then there's the next scene, there's a different person playing Wraith. And at first I was kind of like, this is going to be confusing to people. But I kind of love this because it kind of gives people the experience of like what it was like, of like how different the performances could be with just the same character. And yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how you'd portray that like in VR or you can't.
The models just, they change the face models. You're like, wait a minute. I was just.
So here would be my idea though. And it would be the same as like a choose your own adventure book or like a VR thing. But when I think about the story of Star Cruiser and retelling it, I think of like Glass Onion or Knives Out, where like the murder happens, right? And so you see that from kind of a third person perspective, but then it would go back and it would say, okay, from this person's perspective, this is what happened. From this person's perspective, this is what happened. And I feel like that's how you would almost have to do it. But to do that, like Peter, if your full story video was 4 hours, and that story plays out on Star Cruiser, like the whole voyage itself is what, 45 hours maximum, but of actual like story time is probably what, like 30 hours? Not even, because you have to sleep. So maybe 24 hours of story when you include Batuu and everything. I would say
6 hours, including Batuu.
Because you have to think it was 4 to 10 on day one, so that's 6 hours. And then your whole time on Batuu through the end, so from like 8 to 10 the next day, right?
Yeah.
So it's a good chunk of hours.
So what Sarah's saying is she wants a Peter's cut, a Peter cut.
Yeah. I want a director's cut.
A director's cut.
Of everything. But it would have to be from each character's perspective too, because each character has a different motivation and reason for doing the things that they're doing, right? Like it was so beautiful that it existed and that it was so full. And like you said, going back to what you said in the beginning of the episode, is that the critics were saying it's a one and done type thing. Like once you do it, the story doesn't change. Like how could you possibly want to go spend the money to go do that again? But like we were shocked when Rey showed up at the finale the first time. We're like, what's she doing here? I guess it's Star Wars, so she's got to show up. Only to find out that there were deeper reasons. And I honestly still don't even know the full reasons of how she ended up there and what her motive was, but that was what was so beautiful about it. And I think so innovative about Star Cruiser.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely it was a risk that they took, because it is complex. Like if you think about like all the other park stuff, like a lot of those things are a lot more simpler. Like it's just, here's a character, go take a picture, go to the next thing. Like there's this level of complexity to this. It is something to like, wow, like they pulled it off. Like it was a success, but it's like, how can they make, you know, for them, how can they make it profitable? And I think for us, like it was great. It's just, again, how do you make it where it continues,
right?
Type of thing.
Yeah. Our pockets were only
the interesting
so
thing is, I think there's a lot of moments there that you didn't need to understand everything. You just needed to experience what was going on in the moment. Like what I was mentioning earlier with, you know, Chewbacca turning himself in. And then at the end of that dinner, you get the pieces of the, your receipt, which has like this note on the back of it. And it tries to explain that like, oh, don't worry, it's all part of the plan and blah, blah, blah. If I asked the entire reverse engineering Star Cruiser group to explain to me the series of events of what's happening with Chewbacca turning himself in SK, I don't think anybody would get it right. I don't. Like, it's so complicated, and I think it's meant to be you're not meant to like understand it. I think it's supposed to be like kind of like, oh, you just know that there's a plan in the works and there's something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think there's probably different levels of understanding of the story, and I think groups like reverse engineering or like Peter's Google Sheets or your spreadsheet that you've got, like those are deeper understandings of the story. And we'll probably never get to like this level, right? it would be great if we could get to that level. But I feel like after the first couple times that we went, I'm like, okay, I understand it to like this mid level. I'm never going to get down there. So I rose right back up to the top. And anytime I went on a voyage, I'm like, I'm just here for the vibes.
I'm not going that deep anymore.
I was like, I'm here for the vibe. Cause I never tried to figure out the story just cause that's not what Star Cruiser was about to me. It was beautiful. The story is absolutely wonderful, but you could also do so many other things on that ship.
But I think that again, that's where for, you know, when you're talking about that, that's what happened is like you fell in love with characters. So you would lean towards a certain, allegiance. Like I never fully went down the First Order path.
Right.
Now, could I have been convinced by characters? Probably, but I just never went down that path. And it was not because I didn't like, oh, I'm, you know, not going that path. It's just, I was always swayed, you know, by, you know, the candy, you know, the shiny object over here that I went and did other things.
Yeah. I know. So, well,
on the other hand, our friend Brooke always went down the First Order path.
Yeah, which is, it's, I mean, that's just who you have your allegiances to. Like on this last voyage, I only had missions for Croy. And I'm like, how do I only have missions for Croy? Cause like, I never interacted with Croy, but apparently I was on the First Order path and I just, but I didn't even go to, I didn't do any of them. I felt so bad.
The one thing I love about that First Order path, and I don't think you can realize it unless you experience that First Order path, is the arc that Croy has and how he is kind of like, he ends up being a good guy in the end, kind of like, you know what I mean? Like he's obviously a bad guy, but like, but he's not even respected by the First Order. And by the end, he's kind of like, I don't know. There's moments in that First Order path, especially near the end where you kind of realize that he's not all that bad. He just took a wrong turn. Do you know what I mean? And even, you know, Gaia says it at one point, you know, that she respects his game or whatever.
Yeah.
They humanize him. Like, it's not just a First Order officer. This person that's this officer. And I think that's probably what it kind of does. Is like, okay, hey, you know, he's just trying to make it like everyone else. And he just chose that path.
But again, I mean, unless you do that path, you don't know that.
Yeah.
And that's what was so beautiful. Like, it's just, you could not, and so complex.
Yeah.
There was just no way to know any of that unless you probably went and did it like every single one of the voyages.
I'm still determined until there's like a choose your own adventure book, like to get to the story of like what it was.
You should do it.
But we can't go anymore. Yeah. Like, but that's the thing. We can't go anymore. I
know. And that's what's, now it's going to be like an art, like, you know, I'm going to have to use.
Are you going
to
use my Halcyon, Facebook group?
Yeah. Halcyon Legacy. Like, go put all your time stamped events, these conversations. So that way we could like, you know, start getting down to the story of what it was. And then we could actually have it.
Do it. I mean, the group is literally now called the Halcyon Legacy, an archive of Galactic Star Cruiser. So if you're watching this or listening to it, throw everything you've got in there and let's document it, because it's still somewhat fresh. You know, it's recently closed, so we still have somewhat of the memories. We've got all the screenshots and videos. Throw it in there and let's actually build a true archive of what this thing is.
Yeah.
We'll pin Peter's video up at the top.
Yeah.
Hey, you got Which, 4 hours? But,
and that's the thing. That's so good. That's the inspiration. Like whenever you like, you're feeling like, oh, this is so hard, just go watch the video and it'll just like remind you of like, oh, yeah, this is what I'm doing it for.
Like, I like to watch the end of Peter's video when you talk about, like, the community that it built and then, like, showing the clips from the last voyage.
I cried like, so I, many
if I need
times,
a good cry. If you need a good cry, oh, like, that's what you watch because it's just, oh.
Well, see, I like the, like, yes, I love the ending, but it's the beginning, the excitement. Like, you could get that feeling of, like, going on and experiencing it. Like, I think that's the other part. It's just like those butterflies, like, oh my gosh, like all this stuff is like brand new. And you know, you're getting excited about all these different things.
Yeah. No, you guys did a beautiful job of all of the Star Cruiser videos that you did, but like this one in particular, because it was just a culmination of everything, right? It was just you, even though we were not on all the voyages with you, like you feel like you get to relive your own Star Cruiser experience through you. And even if you haven't gone, you did it in a way that we got to live vicariously through you as Reza. But well done.
That's the greatest compliment, to be honest with you. And I don't know, I did this. I spent almost 2 weeks editing this. Kitra was busy doing other stuff. And I knew that there probably isn't going to be a huge audience for this today. To be honest with you, we released our first Japan vlog, and in 12 hours we got more views on that than we did the Star Cruiser video in a week. But I'm hopeful that this is going to be an archive. This is going to be something that people could come back to for years to come and have a definitive, somewhat definitive. Again, what you're saying is there is no definitive. There's no way to experience all of it. Well, maybe Steven will figure it out.
Is what we'll see.
Famous last words.
Famous last words.
Yeah, but you guys did it, and you did it really well. Yeah. So
right now, Peter, this is the best, the definitive. So yeah. Until someone else comes and gives us something else.
And we'll link your video in the show notes. Well, so if you haven't seen it, please go watch it. It's wonderful. It's the best thing out there to truly experiencing the Star Cruiser without having gone.
Yeah.
So well done.
I'm just realizing that we're all just here because we're so sad that this thing doesn't exist anymore. And we're trying to figure out ways to preserve it and to still be able to live it in some way in the future. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. And maybe it comes back, right? We still have that little bit of hope, which I think is what we all think. That's what Star Wars is all about, right? Is hope. We have this little bit of hope that it will be back in some way, shape, or form in the future. Please.
I feel like Sarah's saying this, and Steven, what do you feel? Do you think it's coming back in any way?
In this form, I don't think so. I think that's why it needs to be preserved, because in this form, I don't think we're ever going to see it in the form that it was. That's just my thinking, my realist thinking, my hopeful thinking. Yes, I hope it comes back and comes back better than ever. But my realistic thinking is we won't see this same kind of that same form again. Yeah. And I think that's why that urge to preserve it is there, because it was so great, and it was very ambitious, and it was innovative in what it was.
I want to say one other thing. Even if you've never been to the Star Cruiser and the Star Cruiser didn't seem like something you'd want to go on, it's a shame that there's now this part of Star Wars canon that there's no way to experience. There's things that happen on the Star Cruiser with that, Luke Skywalker's holocron and stuff like that are now a piece of Star Wars history that there's no way to... There's no book you can read. There's no comic book. I feel like there should be some way official from Disney.
Even the movies, they have a book on them. I don't see why they wouldn't have more than, six comic books on this ship, and more of just to preserve that story. It's canon now, and we have to something, and not just a blurb in the Star Wars Encyclopedia. It needs to be a full story. So
can they even do that though? Or is this now Legends?
No, I think so. I think it's them selling the stuff in Hollywood Studios. We're starting to see that. I think it was probably just the building and maybe not as much as we thought that they can't reuse.
I hope. That's my middle name now. It will be an absolute shame if something, even if it's not Star Wars, but of this immersive capacity, doesn't exist ever again. I think that's my big thing. It's just it was a new type of entertainment that completely changed the game. And for that to not exist anymore or ever is just an absolute shame.
Yeah.
I don't even care if you give me I don't even care if it's Small World. Give me something immersive like that again to experience, because that was you feel like a kid again.
There's nothing like there out there. I know you guys went to Area 51, you went to Omega Mart, or that's you discovering the story through going through, but you're not affecting the story, you're not experiencing the story as it's happening. there's, I guess, Sleep No More in New York, but that's more of a play that you're watching from different angles. I don't know. Is there anything like this?
Again, it was that complex. Like, it's not, you know, they had the app, the data pad. So you had choices on there. So there was different dialogue that way. There was this two-night story that, you know, it hit these story points. And then on top of that, they had this improvisational part of it that it just took it over the edge. So it was like, it was so many things. And then having the, you know, the food and all this stuff and going off plan, like having that story. Cause like everybody goes to Smuggler's Run, but your story, you go there for 4 or 5 different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Rise of Resistance, but it's for 4 or 5 different, you know, the captain's telling you to go, Lancas telling you to go, the Croy's telling you to go. So they're going for different reasons. So it's like, there was so many factors into it. It's like all these places that we talk about, Omega Mart, Sleep No More, like it's just one part of it. You know, right. You know, there's the video game, like it's one part of that, you know, here's the storyline, but to get that other part of it, like, it's not like they, again, it was that well done. It's like, there was so many parts that connected and worked and
literally were eating, sleeping and breathing that story.
Yeah.
Lissai. Well, on that great note, I think that about wraps up this episode. Peter, thank you so much for joining us. If you could please tell people what you've got going on and where they can find you online.
You can find me on YouTube at Ordinary Adventures, where we are currently beginning our Japan series. We went to Japan, where our first video is up where we travel there, but our next few videos are going to be exploring Tokyo and then going off to Disney, which, guys, this is like the best version of Disney ever. It's like they went to the Imagineers and were like, we have an unlimited budget. How do we make the best version of Disney? And they're like, oh, okay. We can, without constraints, we could do any, you know, amazing things. So yeah, it's I can't wait for you guys to see it. And I can't wait for you guys to go.
So you're saying that they're going to take Star Cruiser to Japan.
What? You know, at one point, I think they did, there was a report that they did pitch that to the Oriental Land Company. And I was wondering, would you guys, it's probably not going to happen now, but if they built that in Japan and it's now in a different language, would you guys go there to experience it, even though you can't communicate? Even using the data pad would be like a struggle. Well, right. Maybe they could. Yeah. How would that work?
I don't even know, man. But to have something like that again, even if I could, like I said, I was just there for the vibes and the sublight lounge.
If you're there for the vibes, then you would be perfect.
I think I could do it. I'd be fine. So, but like, I don't understand what's going on anyway, even when it was in English. So see, maybe there is hope after all.
We've got to think outside the box.
All right. Well, thank you again, Peter, so much for hanging out with us. And for those of you watching or listening, if you can, this is not the end of Star Cruiser discussions on this channel. So if you would please subscribe, like I said, we'll be talking. Of course, we're talking more Star Cruiser. What a surprise.
Yeah. Until next time.